This is the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray, episode 124.
Welcome to the Soulful PR Podcast. Tune in every week for practical tips, strategies, and case studies that will help you get media coverage for your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello, and welcome to the show. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about how you can use webinars to attract leads and clients. And it just so happens that I'm running a webinar in a couple of days' time. So if you're listening to this episode as it's published or a few days after, then you may still be able to sign up for my webinar on how to create a PR strategy for 2017. It's happening on January the 12th at 2 p.m. GMT, and that's 2017 if you're listening in the future. So if you'd like to hear how I put some of this theory into practice, or see in fact, then sign up for my webinar and come and see how I put mine together. So now, on with the main part of the show. So in this episode, I'm going to be talking about how to use webinars to attract leads and clients. And if you've picked out this episode, then I'm guessing that you're probably new or new-ish to webinars. So I'm really going to go back to basics and start at the beginning. So the first thing I want to cover is what is a webinar. So if you're a little bit unsure about what it means, it's simply an online class where you teach something valuable to your audience. Now, there's various software that you can use out there to help you. So I use GoToWebinar. There's other things out there like Webinar Jam, Ever Webinar. There's all sorts of things. And if you want to hear a little bit more about the techie side of it, I do talk more about that in episode 28, how to use webinars to promote your business. But in this particular episode, I'm going to talk more about the content really and how you come up with ideas. You can get more about the tech in episode 28. So the second thing I guess I need to cover is why do webinars? So how is that going to benefit your business? Well, the most important thing for me is that webinars allow you to show, not tell. In a world where we're constantly being bombarded with marketing messages and people inviting us to buy things, I think there's just so much value in showing people what you know rather than telling them. So if you can get people to join you on an online class for a half an hour or an hour, and you can teach them something, you can show them what you know, that's so much more valuable than any advert. It's proof that you know what you're talking about and proof that you can help them. It's social proof right there in front of them. The other thing that I really love about webinars is that they allow you to build relationships with your audience. So when I run a webinar, and I've run dozens over the years, at the beginning, and I've got better at it over the years, by the way, I've learned things as I've got on. But at the beginning now, I always show myself on video. So when we're doing those last few checks and just checking the sound works okay and the audio, I make sure that I show myself so that some people who arrive on time, they see me. I ask people to, we test out the chat box, because on GoToWebinar, we've got an interactive chat box, and we ask people to just jot in there where they're from and what they're hoping to get from the webinar. So I might be saying hello to people. There might be some people that are in my community. I recognize their names. I know them already. So I can sort of send a personal message to them. And it's a really, really nice way of building a relationship with people. You're not just lecturing at them. You're actually having a conversation, which is obviously what great social media and great marketing is all about. And while you're doing that, you're also getting ideas for other content that you might be able to create. So the questions that people ask in that first few minutes, or what they say about what they want to learn or what they're struggling with and what they're hoping to take away from the webinar, that can be so valuable in itself. So it's really great to get those conversations going, both with people who are new in your audience and to people that you know already. It's really, really great. And I think people want to buy from people. They want to buy from people that they know and trust. So a webinar can really be great for helping you to build up that know, like, and trust factor. The other thing to think about is actually in the content of your webinar, you can build in interaction right the way through. So as I say, I've got better at doing this over the years. When I first started doing webinars, it was very much I decided what I was going to teach, and there might be questions at the end, but Now what I do is I try and build in points during the webinar where I either get people to do a practical exercise and feedback to me. So when I do writing webinars, I actually get people to write. It could be a headline or it could be the opening sentence of a piece and then post it in the chat box. And I read some of them out and give feedback on some of them. In some cases, I might ask people to go and do something. So when I'm teaching about how to get press coverage, I might say, go over onto Twitter now and check out the journo request hashtag and tell me what you find. Some people will come back and tell me that they've responded to one while they're on the webinar. And if you can get people a win, a small win on the webinar, while they're actually working with you, then obviously that's great. So building in opportunities for interactivity, to ask questions, to get people to do practical exercises, it's all building that relationship, which is great, and helping you to establish yourself as a thought leader and a really knowledgeable person in your space. The other thing, of course, is it's brand awareness, or it's certainly about building your brand awareness, because while you're out there marketing your webinar, not everybody will come to your webinar. Not everybody will turn up on the day, so you'll get some people who will sign up but may not necessarily come to the class. But seeing you out there telling people that you've got a webinar and inviting them along on social media or in Facebook groups or wherever you decide to market is all building your brand awareness. And of course, the other thing to bear in mind is that you can sell. So if you have a product or a program that you want to sell, if you've given somebody 30, 60 minutes of really, really great value and you've helped them, then I don't think anybody minds you coming along and saying at the end of a webinar, look, and by the way, I've also got this great program or this great product that's going to help you go a bit further with this. And I've got better at this over the years. I used to feel, I have to confess, a little bit icky about selling on my webinars, but now I'm really in that place where I'm like, no, I've just shared some really, really great information with this audience. They've learned something. Some people have even had some small wins while they've been on the class. So for me, it feels like the natural next step. And for your audience, it's the natural next step to say, okay, well, we've learned this together. This could be the next step for you. Let me tell you a little bit more about it. So I think when you do a webinar, it's really important that you are not afraid to sell. You're not afraid to make an offer at the end of your webinar. And in fact, when I first started doing webinars, I used to just teach the class and people used to love it and I used to get great feedback. But it didn't occur to me that I could actually sell one of my events or I could sell a program that I was running. I really did miss out on many opportunities. So if you're just thinking about doing webinars, I want you to think from the outset that it's okay to sell on your webinar and actually it's a really, really good thing to do and nobody will think any less of you for doing that. What you're doing is you're guiding people towards the next step that they might want to take. Some people won't want to take that step, but some people will. So don't miss out on that opportunity. So the next question people often ask me about webinars is, what should I teach on the webinar? My advice would be to teach something really, really specific. A big mistake I see people making with webinars is just trying to teach everything. So if, like me, for an example, you're a specialist in how to get press coverage, I don't think you should try and get on a webinar and teach people everything you know on how to get press coverage, because that's just too much for people. It's too much for them to take in. So what I would do is try and get really, really specific. So a webinar that I've been doing recently, which has been really successful for me, is how to get press coverage without writing press releases. And I think the reason that that attracts people and works so well is because it's really specific. So people who are thinking about getting into newspapers, magazines, radio and TV, they may not know much about it at all, but something they have heard of is press releases. So they may have been looking into how they might start to get press coverage and they may have heard about press releases. They may have even tried to write one, or they may have even looked into hiring a PR company or somebody to write them for them. So they've probably got to that stage where they think, this is either going to cost me a lot of time or a lot of money. I'm not really sure about this. And then I come along and say, hey, I can show you how to do this without writing press releases. Here's some things you can start doing today to get press coverage. Then that really speaks the right language to a particular kind of audience. And that topic, so how to get press coverage without writing press releases, or how to get featured in high profile magazines or whatever it might be without writing press releases, has been really, really good for me. So a few other examples that might be helpful. So If you're a Facebook advertising expert, you might want to do something on how to use Facebook advertising to find more customers or to double your revenue, or how to make sales on Pinterest or Instagram. The more specific you can make it, the better. You don't need to teach everything that you know. And I often hear the advice about webinars, and I feel a little bit conflicted about this, but I hear people saying, tell people what to do, but don't tell them how to do it. And I can see why people might say that, because I guess the thinking is that you tell people what to do and you give them all the steps they need to take, and then you try and sell them into your program or to your whatever solution it is that you're offering. It could be your coaching or your consulting that will give them the how. But personally, that feels a bit disingenuous to me. So I try and teach something that people can actually, I try and do somehow on my webinars as well. So I try and do something that will get people a win. So one example from one of my recent webinars is I was giving some advice on what you should do with your social media profiles. And I was showing examples of social media profiles, and it was Twitter we were looking at, that are attractive to journalists and ones that are not so attractive. And one bit of advice that I gave was that putting your phone number on your Twitter bio can really increase your chances of getting in newspapers, magazines, radio and TV, because a journalist might find you on Twitter. They might think you're just the person to help them with their article or their program that they're making. But if they can't get hold of you quickly, they will move on quickly to somebody they can get hold of. And Frederica, who's one of my consulting clients, I've worked with her as a consultant during the year, she made that change while she was actually on the webinar. So she changed her Twitter profile and she added a phone number on there. And she got back in touch with me, I think it was the following day, to say that she'd been contacted by two national radio programs off the back of that. Just putting her phone number on her Twitter profile had got her that win. So that's really what I like to try and do in my webinars. I like to try and share specific tips that people can go and try, and maybe even go and try while they're on the webinar and get a result. So another one that I've shared quite a bit is using the journal request hashtag on Twitter, because that's a hashtag that lots of journalists use to find people to help them with stories. I've had people who've gone over, had a look while they've been on my webinar, they've responded to a journal request, and then they've come back and they've shared what's happened on the webinar, and you couldn't get much better than that. So I would say really try and give people a small win. Try and share something that's really useful. And that's proving basically that you know what you're talking about, and that if they do decide at a later date that they do want to purchase one of your paid programs or your paid services or whatever it might be, you've really proved your worth. You don't have to do the big sell, because you've already shown them, you've already given them evidence that you know what you're talking about. Another question that people ask me a lot is, what's the optimum length of a webinar? I would say between about 30 and 60 minutes is probably about right. And I would always build in some time for questions at the end. One thing you might want to think about, and this is something that my assistant Jo pointed out to me after listening in on my webinars for a while, is where you have the questions. So I used to save all my questions up until the end. Then I tried having segments. So I tried having, say, 15 minutes and then having a short blast of questions. But what we had to think about was really the replay. So you will get lots of people who sign up for your webinar but don't make it along on the day, and you can send them out the replay. And actually, when we look at our replay figures, a lot of people do listen into the replay, so it's well worth doing. But when somebody's experiencing your webinar as a replay, it's quite a different experience. So you might just want to think about where you place the questions. So I try now to save most of them for the end. I have a few as we're going along, a few interactive bits. But what I don't want for people who are watching the replay is that kind of frustrating. They're just getting into the content and then suddenly they have to kind of almost watch 15 minutes of questions. So have a think about what the experience might be like for somebody who's watching the replay, and do bear them in mind. What I tend to do now in terms of the structure is I tend to teach the class. I might have a few questions and a few little interactive bits, and then I do my sell. So right before the end of the webinar, I'll say, right, I'm just going to talk to you about something I've got coming up that I think might be of interest to you. And then I'm going to take some questions, and that encourages people to stick around. And what's really interesting is if you say to people, you can ask me some questions about what I'm talking about now. So that might be your product or service that you're selling. And you can ask me questions about anything we've talked about today, or anything really on this topic. And you do get quite a few questions about your product or service that you're selling. I tend to find I get a bit of a mixture. So I'll get some people asking me about my product or service. And I'll also get some people who've just got general questions, and all of that is absolutely fine. But for me, I think it's better to save most of them up until the end. And you will get, depending on what software you're using, you probably will get questions as you're going along. And it's quite tempting to kind of get sidetracked and go off with them. But, you know, you can play around with this. But for me, I found it's worked better to have the questions at the end, because you do have to think about the replay. Another question that people ask me a lot is about, what time should I hold my webinar, and are there any particular days of the week that work better? Again, this is something I've played around with over the years, but for me, Mondays and Fridays are not great. On Mondays, people are often busy getting going for the week, and they're often feeling quite kind of stressed and have got a lot on their plate. Friday, people are looking towards the weekend, and generally they, you know, a lot of self-employed people, for example, will take the afternoon off or might take it easy on a Friday afternoon. I like Thursdays. I always try and like to do my webinars on a Thursday afternoon, because it's given people enough time in the week to get all their big jobs done, but they're looking towards the end of the week and they may be relaxing slightly. So I find that's a good day that works really well for me. Timing wise, it really does depend on your audience, and you do need to play around and do some research and maybe ask your potential webinar attendees what would work for them. I tend to do 2 o'clock because I know that a lot of my audience are mums and a lot of them do school pickups. I'm based in the UK and mums are generally heading out, and that sounds like a stereotype, doesn't it? But that is generally who my audience are. A lot of the mums at 3 o'clock, they'll be going out to do the school run. So between 2 and 3 works quite nicely, because again, it's that part of the day where if you've got things you've got to get done, you've already got those done. And a lot of people after lunch, they're not feeling quite so kind of tipped on their tip top, most productive. And actually going to a webinar in the afternoon after lunch when you're feeling a bit sleepy can actually be quite a nice thing to do. But do play around. There's no hard and fast rules. This is really about you finding the right time for your audience. So something else I get asked a lot about webinars is, how do you market them? And in particular, if you're new to webinars and you don't have a big audience, then how the hell do you get people to come along to them? So I can totally understand this, and I have been there with a very small audience. And the answer really is that you have to hustle big time. So if you're already in the fortunate position of having an email list, then for me, email marketing is usually the best way to get people to come along to your webinars. But you can also use social media. Personally, I find that social media is more of a kind of reminder for people, and it will reinforce the email. They'll see my social media update and it will remind them I sent them an email. I've got a large Facebook group, and I'm always banging on about how great it can be to have an online community. And that's great for webinars. Obviously, all I need to do is to post in the Facebook group about my webinar. And even if people have missed the email, or for whatever reason haven't missed the email, maybe they're not on my list, maybe they're just in my group, then they will not only see it and sign up for it, but they will also talk about it, which can be great. And I'm always, always banging on about having a Facebook group and how important it can be. It's just such a great marketing tool. But whenever I post about a webinar, I will inevitably start a thread where people say, oh yeah, I'm signed up for this. Or people will say, is there going to be a replay because I can't make the time? And obviously it gives you a chance to get into a conversation with your potential attendees. Sometimes people will say to me, are you going to be covering this? I want to know about this, which is brilliant for your planning as well, because even if you've already planned your webinar, if somebody asks about something and you thought, I hadn't thought about covering that, but actually that's a really good point, then you can tweak your webinar and the content of the webinar to match the people who are going to be coming along. If you don't have a big audience, and as I say, I have been there, I know how tough it is, you have to really hustle and start by asking previous customers and clients, start by asking your friends and colleagues. It's perfectly okay for you to do your first webinar and only have your mum and a few friends. You have to get over that. You just totally have to get out there and do it. And just be aware that the more you do it, you will get better at it, and you'll get better at marketing it, and as you grow your audience. But it's one of those things, it's like starting a blog. If you keep telling yourself you're going to do it, you won't do it. You just need to get out there and do it. And if there's 5 people, you have to absolutely just sock it to those 5 people and give them the best webinar you possibly can. And, you know, just as you would if you had 500 people. And I have given webinars where maybe I've tried a new market where I've only had 8 people maybe on the call, but you just have to go for it. You just have to do what you can. And most people I know who are starting webinars for the first time, what they do is they they hustle amongst their friends and colleagues to get that first webinar going. And then once you've built your email list more and built your presence on social media, each time you do it, it does get easier. And obviously holding a webinar itself is a list building exercise. So even if you're posting on your own personal Facebook wall or you're emailing people that you think might be interested, these are people who may well get onto your email list and be future attendees of webinars. So try and think about it as a long game. Try not to be too hard on yourself. It's better to get out there and do a webinar for 8 people and do it really well and take what you've learned and then do more in the future than sit there worrying about the fact, will anybody come to my webinar? Just get out there and give it a go. And one last thing I wanted to say about marketing is people often ask me, well, how far in advance do I need to market my webinar? So I have a little sequence that I've been using for quite a few years now, which is I basically do it over 3 or 4 days. And that's because I've learned over the years that people kind of forget. If you start promoting a webinar 2 weeks out, then people will sign up for it and then they'll forget and they'll put something else in their diary. So I usually start with an email on the Monday. I send a reminder on the Tuesday and the Wednesday. And finally, we normally send 2 emails on the Thursday, the day of the webinar. And I will normally just start off with a day or two of email. Then I might start talking about it on the second or third day in my Facebook group and on Twitter and on my other social media platforms. So I build it up gradually. Now, I'm at the stage now where I tend to get between 500 and 1,000 people. And I've also used Facebook advertising as well. But I think if you're just starting out and you don't have a big audience, it's kind of like a chicken and egg thing. You need to build that audience in order to be able to really benefit from the Facebook advertising, I think. So I would probably start, if you're just starting out, I would start by hustling and getting friends and colleagues and personally emailing people and contacting people on social media, just reaching out to anybody who you think might be interested. And then I think once you've got more of an established audience, you might want to have a look at Facebook advertising. So the other thing you might want to think about as well is what you do after your webinar. So when I first started out, I used to deliver these great webinars, which had great content. And then that would be it. I wouldn't try to sell anything. I wouldn't follow up with people in any way. Well, I would follow up with people and send them the replay and say, if you want to have a look afterwards, then, you know, and I think it is worth sending your replay to people who attend, because sometimes people want to go over parts of it. And it's obviously, it's another reason for you to email people afterwards. But I think you do need to think about your follow up. So you don't have to sell on your webinar. It could be that you deliver 30, 60 minutes of great value, and then you create a follow-up email sequence that over 3 or 4 emails leads to the thing that you want to sell. You know, there's nothing to say that you have to sell on the webinar, but actually there's something about having people there in front of you live who can ask you questions and you can interact with that. I mean, why would you waste that opportunity? But what I would advise is that you don't just leave it there after the webinar. So the first email that you can send afterwards can be a delivery of the replay. If it's anything you want to go over, what you might want to do is create a special bonus. So a couple of emails later, you might want to send a special bonus to help people put things into action. I often send emails or have a sequence that contains an email maybe a week or so later that says, how are you getting on with what you learned in the webinar? Is there anything I can help you with? Hit reply and get in touch if you've got any questions. So it's really important that you don't just leave it there at the end of the webinar. This is the start of a conversation. It's the start of a relationship. And if you want to know more about how to write email marketing sequences, then do go back and have a listen to episode 123 with Jan Ilunga, because we talk about sales funnels and email marketing sequences for a good hour. It's a fantastic episode, and all of what we talk about in that episode you can apply to webinars as well. So I hope you found that useful. It's a big subject and I don't want to overwhelm you. So I just wanted to answer those kind of basic questions and get you thinking about how you might use webinars to promote your business and to attract leads and clients. If you want to know a little bit more about the techie side, then I do talk about that more in episode 28. This episode really is more thinking about what kind of content you could be putting together for webinars and how you might market them. So as ever, I love hearing from you. So do drop me a line on janet@janetmurray.co.uk, or you can tweet me @jan_murray, or you can find me over on Instagram @janmurrayuk. You've been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, why not come over and join my Facebook group? It's simply the Soulful PR Facebook community. and I'd love to see you there.
You've just been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, she'd really appreciate you leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk for more free content that will help you get media coverage for your business.